Welcome to episode 114 of the Martin Bailey Photography Podcast. Last week, I picked up a Canon EF 300mm f2.8L IS USM lens, and today I'm going to touch on some of my first impressions. I've been out with this lens just twice, but already I'm incredibly pleased that I took the plunge on this, and I've been lusting after this lens for years. Listen on for more details of my experiences with the 300mm f2.8 so far, including having shot with the 1.4 and the 2x extenders attached. First of all, the thing that most of you will already know is that this lens is expensive. It cost me the equivalent of about $4,600 US dollars at today's rate, and that's at the end of November 2007 for the sake of people listening to the archives later. This has obviously been the most prohibiting factor to my not adding this lens to my kit so far. The other reason is because it, as so often happens, I have this lens covered with a few other lenses, including the 100-400mm. I want to start off by saying that I did some tests comparing the 100-400mm at 300mm, and I found it to be good, as expected. Better than I'd expected, I would say, because I've been a little bit disenchanted with the 100-400mm for a while, despite it getting me some great shots over the years. I was going to publish the results today, but I've decided against it because, to be honest, for the money, I'm thinking that the 100-400mm L lens is still an incredible piece of kit. It's a little soft at the 400mm end, which is where I usually tend to use it, and that's what's leading to my disenchantment. But when you know its limitations and you know what to expect, I think still for the money, not cheap, but you know, definitely not one of the more expensive L lenses, and it's still a nice piece of kit. It's virtually unusable with the 2x extender, but like I say, once you know these limitations, you can work around them, and it'll serve you well. So, I'm not going to go into like a 100-400mm bashing session today. First, let's take a quick look at the 300mm f2.8 lens itself in image number 1615. Remember, if you're listening to the enhanced version of this podcast in iTunes or on an iPod, you'll be able to see the images as we speak. The images are also embedded in the MP3 file for you to flick through, and you can also view by clicking on the thumbnails on my podcasts page linked via the top menu at martinbaileyphotography.com, and you can also enter the number that I call out for each image under the podcast menu, and then hit enter or click the button to jump directly to the photo in my gallery. I shot a few images of my latest lenses yesterday for the rotating graphic behind the top menu on the website, and this was while I was at it, I just thought I'd take a full-size shot for this podcast as well. So I've uploaded that to my gear album so that you can take a look now. The lens comes with a hard carrying case with a key that I've found is exactly the same as that for my 600mm f4 lens. So the actual act of locking the case is more of a comfort to the owner than a security measure. I never check my lenses while traveling, though. So I'll rarely use this case anyway, but I thought it was amusing, to say the least, that Canon decided to use exactly the same key for all of their super telephoto lens cases. The lens also comes with a strap to carry it over your shoulder, and the lens is heavy at 5.6 pounds or 2,550 grams. So when carrying it around attached to your camera, you're better to carry the lens, use the lens's shoulder strap than the body's. And that's really just to avoid ripping the camera's lens mount out. I found, too, that carrying the lens with the the body attached, namely, with, in my case, the 5D with a battery grip and two batteries inside. This gave me a really well-balanced setup. The camera and the lens hung horizontally when held by the shoulder strap and not vertically like when you're carrying just the lens without a camera attached. And it just makes it really nice to carry. Canon obviously designed the lens this way, which I thought was a nice touch. The lens also comes with a large white lens hood that fits on the lens backwards like most hoods do for transporting. And it also has a large leather cap that covers the entire lens hood. Although there are some third-party lens caps available for the 300, 400, 500 and 6mm super telephotos from Canon, the front elements of these lenses are so big that Canon don't actually make a lens cap for them, as far as I know. There is no filter thread in the around the edge of the front of the lens either that would normally be used to grip a cap. That brings me on to the filters for this lens. The Canon super telephotos all take 52mm drop-in filters. There's a little cover in the back of the lens near the lens mount, and that has a clear glass filter incorporated in that has to stay in while, even when no other filters are in use. And if you want to use a polarizer, you buy one specially for these lenses and change it out, by dropping it into this compartment. And once in place, there's a cogwheel on the lens barrel that you use to turn the filter so that you can adjust the amount of polarization required for your shot. They're a little more expensive than normal polarizers. I forget the exact price, probably around $160 or something like that. But luckily, all of the super telephotos take the same 52mm drop-in filter, so you don't need to buy one for each unless you intend to use them simultaneously. There are a large number of other filters listed on the Canon website, but I only have the PL and I've only needed that so far. Anyway, let's jump in and start looking at some of the images that I got from the first few days of shooting, and I'll interleave some of my other impressions as we progress. As I upload my images chronographically, I'm going to talk about them in the order that I shot them as well. So this means that the first image that I want to look at, image number 1618, was actually shot with the 2x extender attached for an effective focal length of 600mm. Not really the order that I would have liked to have looked at these, but I'm just going to follow the chronographically ordered images on my website. One of the main benefits of this lens that I was looking forward to was the ability to actually use a 2x extender and still get tack sharp images. Although a big lens at almost 10 inches to 20 or 25 centimeters long, it's much more portable than the 600mm f4, which I would only normally carry when I know I'm going to need it. The 300mm though becomes an f4 two. Let me start that again. It becomes an f4 420mm with the 1.4x extender, and an f5 600mm with the 2x extender. And it's this setup, this last one that I was testing here. To show you just how sharp this setup is, I'm going to post some example images, not just to my gallery, but also to a forum post that I'll link into the show notes. And in this post, I'm going to put the web-sized image that we're looking at now, but there'll be a small red square or rectangle showing you an area of the photo that I've cropped out, and I'll also upload that that cropped area at 100% with no resizing, no sharpening or anything done to it. So if you are at a computer now, you can take a look or check it out later, but you can see that even with the 2x extender, this lens has totally acceptable sharpness. I should say that, for this I was using a tripod, and the tree was moving slightly in the breeze as well. But you know, I'm sure you'll agree that the sharpness is there. I won't go into shooting data for all of the images today, so if you're interested, take a look at the EXIF data below the images in my online gallery. I'll put another link in the show notes actually to display all of the images taken with the 300mm f2.8. This will be, at the moment there's like, what was that? I think there's about 9 images, and this will grow in time. So if you come back and look at this a year from now, there'll be lots of images there. But right now you'll see around 9 images over the last few days. And that will also, in the link that I put in there, will also show you any of the images shot with extenders as well. I'll say about this image that it was shot at 5.6, which is wide open for this combination, and I'm still very happy with the results. Next, let's look at image number 1621. This was shot without any extenders at 300mm with the aperture wide open at f2.8. I was focusing on the left jagged edge of the yellowy-orange leaf on the right side of the frame. Again, I'll upload a 100% crop of this area of the image to allow you to see just how sharp the lens is. I should also note that I found the bokeh to be very sweet with both extenders and without. Though I've got to admit I prefer the bokeh that you get without extenders. With the shortest focusing distance of 2.5 meters or 8.2 feet, which is just about how close I was to this scene, you can see just how quickly the foreground and the background go out of focus. It's this effect that I was after, and this is one of the main reasons for investing in this lens over using my 100 to 400 at 300mm. The 100 to 400 has a widest aperture of f5.6 at 300mm, which really doesn't allow you to get that amount of bokeh, although, as I said, it's a very nice lens for the price. In image number 1623, we see a grey heron and a great heron strutting past each other in a pond in the park in which I was shooting. This is a prime example of when I would be kicking myself for not having the 600mm with me. Instead, though, on this day, I just dropped the 2x extender on and started shooting away. At 1/160th of a second shutter speed, I was able to shoot handheld with relative success. About a quarter of the images were blurred, but that was more through me moving the lens around while panning with the birds. When I was actually stationary and I was able to, you know, sort of really hold the setup steady, I got very acceptable results. I haven't included a 100% crop of this particular shot, as the birds themselves were moving, literally walking past each other, making the results a little unfairly soft. In the next image though, number 1624, the grey heron was more stationary, so I'll include a 100% crop of the entire bird in that forum post that I mentioned earlier. This is shot with the 1.4x extender, again handheld, and is a tad on the soft side, but again very acceptable. And you know, at handheld, so that's a 420mm. Focal length with a shutter speed of 1/200th of a second, I'm still very happy. Note that I had upped the ISO to 400 for these shots, which is because, you know, basically the light was low. You can see that there are reflections in the water, but the birds were in full shade, so I did that to make sure that I'd get myself a reasonable shutter speed. But this will also introduced minimal, really very minimal grain at this light, but it will be there in the shot to some degree. So the images that we've looked at up to now were all shot in the Shinjuku Gyoen Park here in Tokyo on Friday the 23rd of November, and the following day I visited the Jindai Botanical Garden Park and continued to shoot with the 300mm lens, among others. I'm just going to select 300mm f/2.8 lens shots for the review, but then, you know, there are other shots on the website. Note that I haven't yet shot a front or back focus test like the one that I described in episode number 101 of this podcast. I'll be doing that very soon before my 2 weeks grace period to take the lens back expires. But having used the lens for a couple of days, I'm not worried about any focusing issues. The lens focuses quickly and accurately and rarely searching for focus. It also has very large focusing ring, which really makes it a pleasure to sort of, you know, to turn when you're focusing manually. And another feature of the Canon Super Telephoto lenses is a focus preset button. Having turned it on, there's a little switch on the lens barrel near the IS on-off and the mode settings. You turn it on there, and then you focus at a point that you want to, you know, to lock on or to return to later. And then you press a small white button next to the switch, and then if you've turned the, you know, the focus preset button to the beep mode, and there's a little speaker there, then I think it's a speaker, I forget. But that what will happen is the lens will give you a beep to let you know that that it's locked on, and then you can just continue shooting whatever you want, you know, whatever focus this distance you want. But then when you want to get back to that exact focus distance that you recorded, you turn there's like a cog type wheel on the lens. Between the two black rubber grip that you can see on the photo of the lens that I uploaded, like a cogwheel thing there, you just turn that either clockwise or anti-clockwise, and the lens will jump straight back to the focus distance in an instant, and you're ready to shoot whatever you wanted to shoot at that distance. There are also AF stop buttons around the black grip closest to the front of the front element of the lens. These can be used to stop autofocus from working momentarily, or, you know, while you have the button pressed. But I always select a custom function on my so far on my 5D that remaps these buttons to switch between one-shot focusing and AI servo. This is useful, I find, especially when shooting wildlife like birds in flight, when you need to quickly switch between focusing modes, but you don't have the time, obviously, to make a menu selection. Let's look now at image number 1626. As I was walking through the Jindai Park, I spotted this scene through a gap, and it was just out of reach for the 70 to 200 millimeters with an 1.4 times extender fitted. I set up the 300mm on a tripod and composed the shot through a gap that was, it's a very small gap between a tree and some bushes and things and an overhanging bough of the tree. And basically, you know, this is the result. I'm quite happy with it. Here, what I'd done is I'd stopped down to f/16 to get more depth of field, giving some detail in the trees in the distance, but keeping it slightly blurred so as to keep it separate from the foreground, the pampas grass there and the yellow cedar needles. And they're the part that I wanted in focus. And I wanted both of those in focus. So a smaller F number was not going to really cut it for me. I actually shot the same scene with the 70 to 200mm with the 1.4 extender using the surrounding elements, you know, that bough of the tree and the bush, to frame this scene. But to be honest, the results looked a little bit crass, so I decided against uploading the shot. Take a look at another autumn foliage shot in image number 1631. The beauty of a long lens like this is that it allows us to get up close from a distance, editing the scene in camera, removing unwanted elements to isolate the subject that we want to concentrate on. Here I found a patch of leaves with a nicely lit section in the background as well, and I was able to compose the scene in this way because of the focal length of the lens. I stopped down to f4 for this shot to give me more focus in the depth of field for those foreground leaves, while I was throwing the middle and the background patches nicely out of focus for the overall effect that I was hoping for. Backlit leaves make beautiful subjects, as we can see from the next image, number 1632. Here again, I was able to edit in camera and get myself a nice patch of leaves from the footpath. Shot again at f4, the light hitting the leaves was changing rapidly. Moments before this, I was focusing on the yellow leaf about a quarter of the way up from the bottom of the frame, as it was fully lit. And then I recomposed and refocused as the light moved, lighting up the different set of leaves here. I find that this kind of autumn foliage can make stunning and images very vivid colours, especially when you work in the warmer light towards the end of the day. But I, as I've mentioned before, I like to also find these kind of leaves out of direct sunlight. And that's what we can see in the last image that we'll look at today, which is number 1633. Here I'd found a Japanese maple in beautiful yellow that was totally shaded. The sun was down close to the horizon now and totally behind all of the other trees in the park, but the sky was still quite well lit, so there was lots of diffused light coming from the overhead sky. There was almost no wind as well, so I left the ISO at 100 and selected a shutter speed of 1/30th of a second at f2.8 for this image, again shooting wide open. The focal length allowed me to shoot from a distance, which gave me a good angle on the boughs of the trees, so that the blurred background leaves form nice layers across the middle of the shot, but the left foreground leaves have a dark enough background to add some interest and contrast to the image. The absence of direct sunlight keeps the yellows subdued, though I did expose them a little to the right shoulder of the histogram, as I do off quite often, to make them sort of bright and vivid, but in a subdued kind of way, if you know what I mean. So that's really it, though, for this sort of kind of travelogue style review of the Canon EF 300mm f2.8L IS USM lens. I have been looking forward to getting this lens for absolutely ages, and now that I have it, I can't wait to see what else I can make with its help. A big lens for sure, with a big price tag, so definitely not for everyone. But if you have considered getting this lens and wondered if it's all that it's made out to be, believe me, it is. Like when I first got the 70-200 f2.8, my only regret was not buying it sooner. To be honest, I couldn't afford the 300mm any sooner than this. I've been waiting until I've got enough funds put by for the third generation of the 1DS, which will be out soon. And if I had had to choose between the two, say if the 1DS was released a year ago, I would have gone for that first. But the 1DS has taken so long to be released, a lot longer than I ever expected, so it's given me time to save up for more. And really, this is, luckily it's all come out that I've been able to get the 300mm now as well. The 1DS will hopefully be out in a week's time. Actually, I think it's in 3 days from now. They're saying that it's going to be out on the 29th. I don't know if I'll get mine. The camera shop that I've ordered it in has to get at least 4 for me to get mine, because I'm fourth on the list. But if I do get it, then there'll be another review, hopefully within the next few weeks, if I can get myself in front of the computer instead of outside enjoying the new lens and the new camera. So either way, though, it all worked out well. And, I was able to get the new lens at this point as well, and I'm very, very pleased that I did. So I hope that will be of some help to anyone that might be considering this lens, and even if you're not, I hope you enjoyed the photos. Before we finish, I wanted to remind you that the Fire Assignment album was locked just a few moments ago, and that I have turned on the voting system. Check out the instructions on using the voting system on the assignment forum at martinbaileyphotography.com if you haven't already familiarized yourself with the voting system. And I also encourage you to just come along and, you know, vote for your three images, your three favorites at the mbpgalleries.com website. Thanks to all of you that have uploaded your own images, and I'm impressed as usual with the overall quality of the shots that you guys are putting out, even for such a tough assignment as this has been. Voting will be turned on until the end of Sunday, the 9th of December, and at that time I'll turn it off and prepare the podcast to announce the winner, who will receive a fine art print of the photo of their choice from my online gallery. I'll also announce the theme for the next assignment, and I'm still thinking that the next assignment will probably be the one that we use to close for the grand prize, as I have a great prize for the winner, which I've worked out with a sponsor that's shown interest. So I intend to make the next one the last of the year. It does mean, I think we finished the last one in May 2007. So it does mean that we will miss one, we'll be one assignment short for a full year. So maybe we can't call it a yearly grand prize anymore. But I know that you're going to be really pleased when you find out what the prize is. And I'll be letting you know what that is within the next few weeks as well. So that's about it for today, though. And I guess that all that remains to be said is thanks for listening, and you have a great week, whatever you do. Bye-bye.
PhotocastNetwork.com, your photography resource in the podosphere. PhotocastNetwork.com.